you get an intimation in a way Priya, I get over this, will you? I've had it for about 3 months now. an apostle's heart here, right? And we've been insolently treated in Philippi, as you know. We drew courage through our God to speak to you the gospel of God, which with much struggle. Try to imagine going, I don't know where, with all the ways of means of communication that we have today, but maybe in the middle of Central Africa. Start to talk about one God who loves us, sent his only son who's equal to him to die for our sins and bring us to an eternal life. Who's going to understand that? Besides that, you know, the implication of all of that is, so stop stealing, stop murdering, stop committing adultery, stop being disloyal, you know? Well, that's too much. Bad enough, this wacko idea that there's one God and he came, became man. But that I got to change. And so that's why he says, you see, we had suffered and been insolently treated, as you know, in Philippi. That's amazing in a way, right? Because he still had the greatest affection for the Philippians over all the other groups he ever preached to. It's amazing. Just read the letter to the Philippians and you can feel it, you know? You'd think, after all, if they beat him up like this and insulted him, you'd think he'd say, well, see ya, you know? But he didn't. He goes on, our exhortation was not from delusion. I'm not nuts. I know what I'm talking about. Or impure motives. I'm not taking up a collection for me. I'm taking it up for the poor in Jerusalem who have become Christians and are being persecuted by their fellow Jews and they have no money. And I want to help them out. I'm a Jew, and I want to help my fellow Jews. But as we were judged worthy by God to be entrusted with the gospel, think about that. To be entrusted with the gospel. Now, none of us are St. Paul, but we have been entrusted with the gospel. Go tell everybody what you know. Interesting, isn't it? I've told you about this before, I think, about my dear old Aunt Mary. Very holy woman. They could canonize her if they felt like it. She just had a way of starting a conversation with anybody, anywhere, and getting it around to the Lord, you know. I think I've told you this before. I was standing on a street corner in Allentown, Pennsylvania, with my dear Aunt Mary, and a guy came and stood next to me, I think, we're waiting for the red light to change. And, oh, my aunt starts right away, you know. Didn't God give us a lovely day? Yeah, I guess he did. I mean, what's this guy going to say? You know? Goes on for a little while. And just before the light changed, she says, my nephew here is a priest. I was all dressed up. I mean, there's no way he could miss that. And he'll bless you if you want. I thought, oh, Mame, for heaven's sake. But, I mean, she's right and I'm wrong, right? So I don't know who he might have been, an atheist. I don't know who he was. But I blessed him. And he said, thank you. But, you know, but wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of zeal? She used to, you know, she was one of the top fashion advisors in New York City, which is, you know, pretty good. She dressed Mrs. Cecil B. DeMille, Mrs. DuPont, you know, all these Jewish ladies. She taught them the Memorare. They all said it. And so, you see, there are people still who have Paul's zeal. And because it was so pure of heart, I never saw anybody get angry. I'll tell you another story about it. Then she got really old, of course. She's in her 80s, so she retired. But they always called her in again, because some of these people, like, you know, the big ones, wouldn't have anybody else advise them on their fashion but Mary Doherty. So she had to go back in. She didn't mind it. She got a chance to preach the gospel again. And so she told me this story. She was reading. She didn't read much in her life. All of a sudden, she prayed for me from the moment she knew my mother had conceived me, that I would be a priest, that I would follow in the footsteps of St. Anthony, that I would be a preacher. I didn't have a chance. And so, anyhow, she read about how once St. Francis kissed the leper, you know? And for the first time in her life, she told me this story, that she was there on the bus, and this woman got on, a very heavy African-American woman, and her face was all broken out. Could have been syphilis, could have been anything. And she had a little coin box, and she was shaking. Well, you know my aunt. You know, oh, you have a lovely voice. She was humming. You have a lovely voice, dear. Let's start a little conversation. They both got out of the bus at the same place. And my aunt was dressed in her mink coat. She was on her way to meet her husband. You know, all they're going out to, I don't know what they were going to do. And they got off in the same place. And this woman, who was broken out with sores, you see, said, would you hug me? So she said, oh, I did. And then she had just read about St. Francis. A couple of times, she said, you don't think. She got almost terrified. You don't think. I said, yeah, ma'am, that was Jesus. Oh. So it's nice to hang around with a saint once in a while because, you know, you kind of, this all this stuff is real, you know. Anyway, I got to tell you the rest of this story. This is how we speak, not as trying to please men, but rather God, who judges our hearts. Nor indeed did we ever appear with flattering speech or with a pretext for greed, and now we'll take up the collection. No. We didn't seek praise from men, from you or from others. You see? We were gentle among you as a nursing mother with her children. Think of the patience. Telling all these people to get out of their vices, to believe in Jesus, to be baptized, to change their life. And this was his favorite community, by the way. So anyway, with such affection for you, that's the key to preaching. Affection. You can do your duty. Do you believe in Jesus? To some guy on the bus or whatever, you know. You haven't done anything. You have to have the Lord's affection for them. Then you're creative on what to do when you have to, you know. I don't know if you'd be as bold as my aunt, but you could do something. We were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, and the text says our very lives, and we have it translated our very selves, but you get the idea anyway. So dearly beloved had you become to us. He means that. That's how you preach. You have to love people enough to say, oh, I want that person to be in heaven. I got to tell them about the Lord. And the Lord will do the rest. Now, I probably used up most of my time, but that's all right. Because this one is just one of these. This is the Lord's love. Why would he do this? These people are already his enemies. So why would he go on warning them and presuming, hoping they won't, but presuming they're going to take it as another insult, another declaration of war. In front of a crowd, he says, you see, you hypocrites, you're so dandy about tithing on mint and dill and cumin. But what about the big things of the law? You shall be honest. You shall deprive the poor of their money. You shall, you know, these first things, you want to do them, that's fine. But not neglect the others. And then he goes on, and this doesn't apply to us in our culture so much because we're not always making impressions, you know. We all try a bit, but you see? Woe to you, theologians, scribes are the theologians, and Pharisees, the religious leaders, you hypocrites. The word hypokrite, by the way, comes from a Greek word meaning the prompter in a stage, you know. The actor doesn't know his words, but the prompter does. And if the prompter says them, he says them. Doesn't know anything. You know, it's just playing a role. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup. What's that? Your heart. And then the outside will be also clean. So we have some very beautiful texts today, don't we? About caring for people, praying for people, finding creative ways to talk to them about the Lord. And you can see, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see what's going on. How many people are losing their faith, are falling away, are being infected by the contagion of the corruption that surrounds us. And we have to help them.